Yo, what's up, podcasters?
Yo, 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 yo,
make some noise. Bah, bah, bah,
bah, bah. I don't know if it's it is a podcast. I haven't listened to the podcast to see their things on the old Instagram, but I really liked them. And then I didn't realize that they're from Brisbane. Has anyone seen We Have the Chocolates? They sit around telling dad jokes, trying to make each other laugh.
I think I have seen them.
So what do you call a book club that's stuck on one book for a year? Church.
We Have the Chocolates. I think I've seen them pop up on...
I didn't know they were locals.
Are they?
Yeah.
We Have the Chocolates,
that's
is
the
it?
One. We Have the Chocolates.
If it's who I'm thinking...
They're funny.
And they've got to not laugh, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And they always just laugh.
No, I can't find it.
We Got the Chocolates?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Or... Yeah. We have something about chocolates.
I know, but there's some other ones that are post coming up.
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen these lads. Yeah, they're funny.
Yeah.
I saw them do a real funny one the other day. It's dirty. I'm going to make sure I think of it.
Yeah, We Got the Chocolates. Yeah.
Yeah, so we have.
Oh, that's it. I remember it.
There is so many versions of Barbie now.
Mm.
But why is there not a pregnant Barbie?
I don't know why.
Because Ken comes in another box.
Hey,
that's
nice
good.
One.
It
yeah.
got me good.
What's worse than finding a worm in your apple?
I don't know.
Herpes.
I didn't know they were local because I thought they were in Melbourne.
Yeah, they look Melbourne,
don't
they?
Because they do a lot of, and they're friends with the guys.
It's the bloke with the moustache that makes you think they're from Melbourne.
Yeah. No, because they do a lot of skits with Kick It Forward. And Kick It Forward is from Melbourne.
Right.
Have you not seen the Kick It Forward guys?
Oh, maybe.
They do a lot of AFL and they do it with, what's the guy that used to work with Hamish and Andy? Curly hair? Is it Giggling Jug?
No, the other one.
That guy. He's there.
What was his name?
Ryan Shelton.
That's the one.
No, not Ryan Shelton.
Oh, not him
no.
then. No.
I think it's Giggling Jack. Who's the Giggling one that Jack? Now works on the other radio
with
show?
With Christian Hull?
No, with...
Christian O'Connell.
Connell.
That's who it
yeah.
was.
Yeah,
Cackling Jack.
Cackling Jack, yeah. yeah. He does a lot of those. So
there you go.
Right. Yeah, right. These blokes from Brisbane are there.
Apparently. Or well, their last few videos have been tagged Brisbane. I thought they were local.
Unless they get around. Nah, they're pretty funny. They're good fellas.
They seem like a good laugh.
I mean, I don't know them, but just from what I see, they look like good lads. I follow Alpha Blokes. They're actually from Gladstone, and they're so Gladstone, and they're just so loose, and I just love them so much.
Yeah, they're playing for the Alex Hill Bombers.
Do you have a one that you wait for like every week? I've got, because Honest Trailers drops every Tuesday, and I'm like, oh, it's Honest Trailers Day.
No. I don't listen to podcasts. The only podcast I've listened to recently was the one I told you about, which is Joe Rogan, the interview with Luke Combs.
Who's coming?
Yeah, I've got tickets to that. It's going to be a good gig.
But did you get tickets? Because it sold out like Quick Sticks, didn't it?
Yeah, I bought them the day they were released. I got on it.
I was listening to his, Ray Hadley plays his music.
Ray Hadley loves him.
But his new song about his dad.
He's done a really good cover of Tracy Chapman's Fast Car as well, which is pretty good.
I've heard that. It's popped up. It's very good. Very good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's very
It's just
good.
Always funny when they talk about, when you get like an opposite gender playing it, but they still keep the lyrics.
Yeah.
And you're like, it still makes sense. But
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that one. That's probably my favorite version.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that.
Tracy will come for you.
I know. But I really
yeah,
love
she's
that version.
Still with us.
He does a lot of songs too with, Ed Sheeran. Luke Combs, he just sang it's the Australian Country Music Awards or something with Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
He does a cover of an Ed Sheeran song on stage, stuff like that. He's got an amazing voice. But no, with podcasts, I just watch the clips on the internet. I don't actually download them. I just see little clips and stuff.
Yeah, I don't listen to any podcast. I've never listened to any podcast.
Well, you have now, you said. These guys.
No, I just watch their stuff on Instagram.
Yeah.
I do like the true crime one.
Yeah, it's because you're a girl.
So I have to.
All girls like true crime.
Time where I'm truly girly is I like
it's
my true
off.
Crime.
Not any stationery.
Yeah. I told you have to listen to the confession.
I know, you have told me.
But you haven't. It's very easy. They're small little episodes.
Yeah, I need to get on it.
Yeah, because I need someone to talk to about it because I don't understand how the police officers are still working. And apparently they've moved interstate and they're working here.
Oh.
So can you...
Dun, dun, dun.
Spoiler alert.
It's not. Well, no, it's the guy.
Don't need to listen to it now.
Right, man. From the start, there is a guy that is bludgeoned to death with a statue of the Virgin Mary.
Well, there we go. It's pretty crazy.
Mm.
I was wondering, did they? So was that on a mantle, or did they go out and purchase Virgin Mary?
It was already
in
there.
Order to beat someone with it.
No, it was already there.
Right. Okay.
Mm.
Yeah, but it was just about the and the journalist who's done it did it very well. I think he had to stop at some time because it was going through the courts. It was called The Confession. And he's sort of like, this is not about finding who's right or wrong. It's just showing the process of the police working. Like, well, you're showing the process and I'm getting my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah.
45% of innocent people will confess to a crime they didn't commit just under the stress of it.
Well, this is, you have to listen to it because some of it you're just going, oh, this, I don't want to give too much away. But that's my recommendation. It's very short.
I like that.
So when we talked to the guy from How to Make a Murder and he said that stayed with me, just because you haven't committed a murder doesn't mean you will not be charged with one.
Mm, that's true.
Mm. Yeah.
So was his advice like just commit the murder?
I mean, you're going to get caught for it. Anyway.
All right, here we go. Let's roll the podcast.
Start your day the better way with Stav, Abby and Matt on B105.
Dear Abby.
Sometimes in life, gets real. And that's when you need Abby to help.
I'm trying to help you.
If you have a bit of an issue and you want to get other people's advice, this is your opportunity. You can send an email, dearabby@b105.com.au. You can DM me on Instagram.
Slip in there.
But sometimes it's in the other box and I haven't checked. I did last night, couldn't sleep. And I got one from a girl.
Was that bad? You couldn't sleep from it?
What I heard.
Kept you awake all night.
Yeah. Oh. Could not sleep.
I was checking my other box because I couldn't sleep.
Right, okay.
Okay. So, dear Abby, in December, around the stress of family Christmas time, I admitted to my husband that I just wasn't happy. I'll say that building up to that, I felt really incredibly nervous. But I was so relieved when he actually said, do you know what? I understand, Dal. I don't think it's working either. We went to counselling and followed the advice that the counsellor gave to a T. We scheduled date nights. We focused on the way we talked to each other. We did all the exercises. But in April, my husband said, is this working for you? And I said, it feels like a bit of a chore. I don't think that we have the love there. And he agreed. We decided it was the best thing to separate. And before telling our two kids, he spent the last month looking for a place. Now, I mean, he really, really tried. The amount of applications he put in was admirable. But he didn't find anything that was suitable. He's moved into another bedroom and we have separate accounts that we've started up in the lead up to trying to get a separation. But I tell you what, it has been an absolute pleasure with the pressure off us trying to work on our relationship. It now feels like we are flatmates and quite respectful to each other. We haven't told our two children, who are 6 and 8, because basically the only thing that's changed for them is separate bedrooms. Mm. And they haven't questioned it. The goal is obviously to get separate places down the future, but for now we have agreed to live with each other, but separate. It's working because you can both take the kids to different places. I know that this might go into what happens when one of us finds someone else, but at the moment I feel like I have no sexual desire. Mm. Maybe in the future. I want to know on 13, 10, 16, well, that's me throwing that in, has it actually worked for anyone?
Yeah, right. I think you'd be surprised that more people do this than you might think.
It's like all my friends that have gone through divorce, I actually say amazing.
Mm.
Well done for you, because I think it's quite hard.
Oh, yeah, my mate.
And costly for it, because what they had to do is someone had to buy out the other person.
Mm.
And then you've got to do an appraisal of the house.
Mm.
And then that person needs to go and see if they can pay off the mortgage with extra fees just on their income.
Mm. And if you've got the space for it, I think you do need space, so you're not in each other's space. Like, I don't think it would work in an apartment, but if you've got a house and you've
got separate bedrooms. But would it work forever, though? Like, this has been what?
No,
you don't reckon it'll work forever?
She might not have any sexual drive, but if his pops up.
Yeah, but he can always just stay out overnight somewhere else.
Yeah, and then what, come home the next day, her wondering where he's been?
Well, she wouldn't wonder because they're not together.
I'm just saying, I don't think it's that simple.
You're saying if jealousy comes into it.
Of course.
I don't think she cares enough to be jealous anymore. But, you know,
I think it's I love it when people go, it's an admirable separation, you know, and we're all like,
amicable,
amicable, sorry. But I'm like, at what point does it change? Does a point when someone hasn't paid for their fair share?
Or eaten someone's leftovers or something, but there was that trend for a while of staying in the same house but buying an apartment so the kids don't have to move every weekend.
Didn't you say that the courts were advising that? So get, like, a separate apartment.
Close by.
I know my cousin did it, so they...
had a separate apartment, so the kids never left the house. Mm. And so when it was week on, week off, him and his wife, they would swap. Mm. So one would be in, when it was your week off, you're in the apartment. When it's your week on, you're in the house with the kids. So the kids never left the house.
But what's the difference with my friend's parents separated when her younger brother finished high school? Mm. That was it for them. They separated then. Mm. And she was like, oh, I never saw this coming. And ends up that they had a bed that was split in the middle. You know how there's two mattresses put together? Mm. And they used to split it in the night and put it together in the morning and make the bed.
I mean, there was back in, there was a generation where divorce was so shameful that you didn't do it. It was like last resort because you're almost an outcast in society. So they always used to do that sort of stuff, yeah.
I mean, I just think, and I don't know, I only know what you've told me there, is I think it works until it doesn't. And maybe even there's a small part of it, like everything's so great right now, but maybe they don't even realise they're working on their relationship even realising it.
I was thinking when she was like, we're getting along better, but I think if you haven't got that spark, can you ever get it back though?
But and that's the thing, I'd love to hear if people ring up and go, we did separate, we stayed in the same house, realised we took the pressure off and were just nice to each other, and then all of a sudden we were like, oh, hang on.
If you're still hooking up,
we do like you.
Oh, we separated, but sometimes...
Are they saying they're absolutely not
doing
that at all? No, I think they're absolutely not.
Yeah.
Don't know if it's working, I guess, but I think it's got... if you've got the outside goal of, hey, let's do this for now until we find a place.
Mm. Yeah.
Anonymous has given us a call. What do you think? How long can this last? Does it work?
Well, my story is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. About 6 years ago, my partner and I decided that it wasn't working for us. Mm-hmm. We had four kids. Our youngest was one at the time. We'd been together since I was 15, so nearly 15, 16 years at that time. Mm. It wasn't working. He was a truck driver working away from home 6 to 6.5 days a week. Didn't seem feasible for him to, when we separated, for him to get another house for one day, maybe half a day with the kids. So we lived together, separated, stayed under the same roof. I went and saw other people. He went and saw other people, just stayed away for a night or whatever. Mm-hmm. We've done that now for nearly 6 years, and probably the last 6 months, we've started going, hey, we're catching feelings again. Really? We might be able to make this work.
Wow.
I wondered whether that would happen.
Oh,
that's great, though.
I get goosebumps.
Mm.
Yeah, it's been a lot. About nearly 2 years ago, he got diagnosed with diabetes.
Right.
Yeah.
And he got taken off the road, so he couldn't drive until he got his diabetes under check and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
And he had surgery and went through all these stuff, and we had to literally, like, went from not seeing each other 6 days a week to seeing each other every day.
Yeah, right, because that can either go one way or the other. Yeah.
What is it, do you think? Like, I know he's gone through all that, but do you respect him more? Did you miss him? Like, what is it that's
You also see what's out there too, I guess.
Yeah, but what is it that's sort of changed where you've seen him in a different light?
I think the biggest thing is I've seen him now step up to be a dad.
Right.
Because he was a truck driver working away so long.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't present with the kids.
Mm.
And that was what broke us, I think, in the first place, because I was like, I love you, but I don't love you as a father.
Mm.
And so that's him hard being when you home, love your kids so much.
Yeah.
Him being around is what has fixed it, kind of.
It has, yeah. And there's still things we've got to work on. Like, I hold a lot of resentment because I have abandonment issues from him just going off and, you know, driving a truck and leaving me at home with four kids.
Yeah.
And it's hard, isn't it? Because sometimes you never think that it is actually the job.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Thanks for your call, Anonymous. Let's keep Anonymous's number. We can check in and just see how that all plans out. We love a good love story.
I do. I've got all tears and goosebumps.
Another Anonymous. You've been through a similar thing. Says it can work?
It can work. It worked to start off with for quite some time. We were able to live in the same house. I lived upstairs. He lived downstairs. He would come and go. We were working on her marriage, doing counselling. We weren't actually seeing other people. It was just that we were physically separated.
Mm-hmm.
But it then fell apart when he fell into the arms of another woman. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I reckon that's when you bring someone else into the situation, it's really hard to accommodate that.
Yeah, and it can work. Like, I did start to, I guess, like she said, kind of fall back in love with him because he started to pull his weight. He started to do things and actually, it felt like he was actually being a man rather than relying on everybody else to do everything for him. he started to step up and do it for himself.
So when he got the new partner, he moved back out. That was it?
Yep. Yep, that was it. He moved out. That was it. No more counselling, called it quits.
Yeah, it's hard when he's done all that, stepped up for someone else.
Yeah, and then resentment and guilt because you go, oh, well, what did I do to make him go?
Mm.
What did I do to make him leave? And was I not good enough? And
Yeah, there's a lot of those feelings.
Thanks for your call. Anonymous number three is there. Hi, what are your thoughts on this? Staying in the same house but separating.
Yeah, so in the same house, separated, two kids pretty much. The easiest way to put it is I'm actually the gay boyfriend, not boyfriend, the gay gay friend. Like, I'm completely straight,
but
I literally do quite a lot for her, and we're not together. We just do it for the kids, pretty much.
And it works?
Yeah, it works perfectly fine. Like, the reason why we're actually doing it is the financial situation makes it easier on both of us.
Mm. That's what they're saying. Do you have feelings for her still?
No, not particularly.
Yeah.
Like, she's just, we're always better as friends. Like, we've known each other for over 20-odd years now.
Mm.
So, I don't know, it just works. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you dating? Because I imagine it would be hard to say to a woman, I still live with my ex.
But it's actually quite a predicament, that one. She's had quite a few flings over the last couple of years.
Mm.
But it's sort of weird for the extra person to come in.
Mm.
And it is a weird situation.
It is, especially when they look up and they see family photos of you guys still up there, you know?
Yes, well, we have got a few of those hanging around the house.
Yeah.
Like, she hasn't pulled anything down or nothing. Like,
I know. Were you thinking about that when you're a guy walk into that? And you're at the kitchen table drinking coffee?
No. All we need is a dating app specifically for people who have broken up but still live with their partners. So the other person coming in is also doing the same thing, so you'd all completely fine with it. Make a million.
Yeah, I think that's called swingers, isn't it? No,
that's different. You're not
doing it. Stav, Abby and Matt on B105.
Stav wants a brown snake. Ooh, Maddie wants a brown snake. Abby wants a brown snake. Ooh, Brizzy wants a brown snake. A snake, a snake.
Our brown snake lolly. Yes, it is being made by Allens. We are going to go over to the factory in Melbourne and watch it get made and bring back 10 bags, which is very exciting. And how we
limited edition.
Yes.
That is it.
We don't know how we're going to get them out to the people, but first we need to pick the flavour.
Yeah.
Because they said they're sending cola.
Coffee, chocolate.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
So they're sending us samples to try and we have to decide. And I didn't realise how much science there is behind taste.
We were Googling this yesterday because we're like, well, what makes a great taster? And then we looked it up and you can actually do a university degree on this. And from the University of Queensland, we have Heather Smith, who is a flavour and sensory scientist. Morning.
Good morning.
They never talk about this at Careers Day. I wish they had.
They do not. No, I had never heard of this job until it landed on my lap.
Right.
Okay, so what makes a good taster?
Well, we have a whole lot of tasters around Brisbane, actually, that work for us professionally. What makes a good taster? Number one, someone who's interested and available.
Right.
But when we first get them in, we put them up through a whole lot of different types of taste testing exercises and see how they work in a group, etc. But what we're really looking for is more likely to be super tasters. So they've got lots of fungiform papillae on their tongue, a really high density. So the little pink mushroom-shaped lumps on your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got lots of those, that means you've got lots of taste buds.
Are you born with those or can they be destroyed through poor health or bad eating? Oh, they can.
Definitely. So you're sort of born with what you've got and sort of your genetics dictate that. I'd say older white men tend to lose their sense of taste, whereas if you've got young Asian females, they would be more likely to be excellent tasters.
Wow.
Yeah, the taste.
And is that genetics or is that something to do with type of food?
Genetics and age.
Wow,
yeah,
okay.
Genetics and age. But if you smoke, if you, you know, depending on the types of food that you have and that you consume and you get habituated to, will also change. If you have a really high salt diet, for instance, you won't be able to tell much difference in salt content.
Right. And what sort of things do you taste?
Oh, we taste everything. Right. This year, we've been very lucky. We've been doing some beautiful red papaya and also some Wagyu, actually, some Wagyu beef. Yeah, amongst many other things.
Is it true that it helps? Because I lost my sense of smell during COVID and I think it's come back, but not as efficient as what it was. Mm. Like, it's not as heightened.
Super smells.
Yeah. Does that affect your taste?
It does. It can affect both your taste and your smell. And from the research, there's a lot of research on this since COVID, obviously. Some people never fully recover from that a dysfunction that happens during COVID.
So Stav and I are out. And we need some...
Well, I'm the tastiest.
Yeah.
Well, of a bad bunch.
Hey, I'll take it. I'm still at the top. Matt Preston, when he was on MasterChef, he's a real ugly eater and is that necessary as a taster or is he just doing that for the camera?
Well, I actually started my career in wine flavour chemistry and lots of slurping and bubbling and whatnot goes on when you're doing wine tasting. The reason for that is because you're trying to get air move from your mouth up to the back of your oral cavity where your nose or your sense of smell is. Your olfactory epithelium is your receptor for smell. So if you don't have the air moving through your mouth, all you'll do is taste things on your tongue. So taste and smell are different, completely different mechanisms, but they work together to sort of create flavour.
So if you're at the kitchen table, at the dinner table, and your mum's like, don't eat with your mouth open, you're like, I'm sorry, this is a beautiful meal. I really want to taste it.
I'm trying to smell the volatiles, mummy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to smell the volatiles, mummy.
And speaking of taste,
this
obviously.
It is fascinating,
isn't it? We talk to you all day. We do have three separate flavours that we have to choose from and hopefully get the help of people from Brisbane. Cola, coffee or chocolate. Is there any one of those that sticks out to you as a super flavour that just everyone loves?
Oh, look, chocolate and vanilla are kind of the classics of all time in the flavour world, I suppose. But certainly cola and coffee, if I were approaching this, I'd be thinking, who do I want to eat these?
Yeah.
So, and think about what it is that they like. So if you want kids to be eating these or you want everyone in Brisbane to be eating these, what sort of flavour? All right. Yeah. Well, I think I'd say chocolate's probably a bit hard to pass.
Heather, what do we have in between? You know when you go out for a really la-di-da restaurant and they give you like that little sorbet and they're like, oh, it's a
palate cleanser.
Oh, that's lovely. What do we have as a palate cleanser in between eating lollies?
Oh, in between eating lollies, if they're really high in sugar, I think something like a sparkling water would be good.
Just a
plain sparkling water. We usually use that between coffee, actually, when we do coffee tastings.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Another good thing to do is just to get them to smell a glass of water or just smell the back of their hand to sort of reset their senses and then taste the next one. Yeah.
Because we also coffee beans, don't you? Give a what's
for
a coffee
perfume.
Beans.
Yeah. When you want to, that's for your smell of perfume.
Right.
Because it is, I went and did like beer tasting down in Tasmania at Bogues and they were like, you have to have two sips because apparently the first sip gets
lost.
Well, yeah. And then the second one is there anything like that? Do we need to taste it twice to really get it?
Oh, definitely. Look, a few repeat bites would certainly help.
Okay.
And what is it with children? Like, is it true like your taste buds mature? You know, like my kid, you know, can taste carrot in bolognese that's been cooked for 15 hours with stuff all over it. Like, is it all in your mind as a child?
Oh, look, it kind of is. It's got to do with familiarisation. So we are designed to not eat food that's going to kill us. So we're really, our senses help us identify food that might make us really sick. So from a child's perspective, they don't like new things. They don't like different things. They like to eat what they like to eat because they feel comfortable. They're more familiar with those things and their brain tells them that you're not going to die if you keep eating these same things. Oh. So you've got to repeat.
They say like 10 times food. before they know that they really do hate that food.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, Heather, we're going to keep your number because I think we're going to need to chat to you a little bit more before we decide.
Would you like to taste this? Would you like to be one of the tasters?
Oh, I'd love to be one of the tasters.
You're very passionate.
Yeah. And obviously an expert.
If only I'd known you could get paid to eat.
Yeah, but not the eat food that you eat though, mate. And that's only like, How long is a degree, Heather?
Oh, look, my PhD, I did 8 years.
Wow.
See, that's why you're not, Matt. It doesn't matter if you even knew it was out
I've been
there.
Eating for 35.
No, but 8 years PhD, you bite off more than you could chew.
Yeah, true.
Heather, flavour and sensory scientist at the University of Queensland. Thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome.
All right. This is your chance now to register, sign up to possibly be one of our very first taste testers. Hey, Louise.
Louisa.
Hi. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Louisa. Louisa. Yeah, sorry, Louisa.
Why are you a good taste tester?
Oh, because my taste buds are lit.
Oh. All okay. Right. What's your favourite taste? What sort of taste are you into?
So I love coffee, I love chocolate, and I love cola. And I had a bit of a brain idea the other morning when we were listening.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of controversy with the Cheekies.
Yes. Yeah. It used to be called.
I think Allen's should make your brown snake and make that the Cheekies flavour.
It is a beautiful flavour, isn't it? I do love that. But then I said this and I got a little bit, I love the Black Cat.
Oh, nah.
Why did I never get any?
There, Abby.
Yeah,
no. I never get any. Should have asked that. Okay, that's great. All right. Are we giving people the jobs?
Louisa. Yo. Congrats.
Yeah, well done.
You're a tester.
Thank you.
All right. If you get chosen today, you will be the very first person to sample one of the flavours to choose for the brown snake. I think we're deciding by next Friday we have to decide the flavour.
Oh, that's great. All right. Okay. We've got Shavita in Rochdale. Why are you a good taste tester?
As your scientist said, that young Asian women are one of the best tasters, and I fit that category.
Oh, you're in.
And I cook every single day. There's no takeouts in our household. I work with all the spices and all the nitty gritty. I reckon I'll definitely be a super taste tester.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think that's true. If you're a good cook and you do all the extra bit, not just mine, that you serve up the meat and three veg.
Open the cans.
I love that, Shavita. And
classy.
As you're saying with your cooking, like if any, like. Meal can have like fish sauce and all these random ingredients in it. Like, this is delicious. Well, like, if you think of it, you go, that's got fish sauce in it. You're like, ooh.
There is a shop that's opened around the corner from us and it just does spices and nuts.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And I was like,
I'm allergic to anything. Oh, I can taste this. I can fit all the categories and pick all.
Okay.
All right.
You're in. Congratulations.
Perfect.
Yeah. Crystal in Logan Lee. Now here's a good one, because while you were pregnant, your taste went crazy, right?
It did, yeah.
Right.
So baby number three, my cravings were chili.
Mm-hmm.
So my partner's a pretty good cook. He cooks for us every night and he's constantly cooking different things. The kids are not an overly a great fan, but baby number three, all the jalapenos.
Oh.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Okay. Chili snake would it be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. If we get a pregnant lady, we'll end up with like gherkin snake.
Yeah, it's like put it down. You know, you have two bites, put it down.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, well, you're in.
Thank you. Awesome.
Yeah, easy.
This is exciting.
Should we?
Do you want, a male? Is that what you're thinking?
No. I'm thinking differently. I'm thinking, should tomorrow we find the pickiest child?
Yeah.
I've got horrible child to cook for.
Yeah, I got one at home.
And then.
That's it.
If you
crack them, then everyone's got to like it,
That's what
if,
I mean.
You mean if there's a child that doesn't even like lollies?
Likes nothing.
That's good.
You know, because then what we need is people who love to eat and then people who hate it. Mm. And then we need a good broad range. Mm. Just an idea.
Do you want a heavy smoker? If that's what they're saying, the taste buds are like killed from it. If they like it.
Mm.
All right. Well, tomorrow we will find a dart puncher and a child.
We found our young Asian lady today.
If we can combine them. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
We want everyone to love them.
Mm. Yeah, we do.
Stav, Abby and Matt on B105.
Stephen Miles, the Deputy Premier.
Carol Baskin.
Killed her husband, whacked him.
Can't convince me.
You've lost.
What is with that?
Oh, so that's when I had my bad cough. Maybe that's just how I laugh.
Mr. Stephen Miles, how are you? What have you been up to?
Good morning. I'm great. It's been a while, guys. How are you?
It has been a while.
Are we going to see you on the 26th of May? We would all like to go to Gambaro's for the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Hoping to, yeah. Can't wait.
Mm, there we go.
Don't miss the champagne, do you, Milesy?
More of a beer man, but
you can get everything.
You're on for a very important reason. It's actually one of our favourite councils, isn't it, Abs?
Is Moreton Bay?
Moreton Bay, yes.
I do love Moreton Bay Council.
But they're doing something. Why are they doing this and what are they doing?
Well, it's my favourite council too. I grew up in Moreton Bay and that's where I live. And the council said to us that they thought, given the area had grown so much, there's nearly half a million people living here now that it shouldn't be called a regional council anymore. It should be a city council. So we're announcing today we're going to rename it the Moreton Bay City Council.
Oh, does that mean it's not part of Brisbane anymore?
Well, it hasn't been part of Brisbane. It's been a separate local government area. And I guess this helps address that confusion. It helps say that Moreton Bay is a city in its own right, just like Gold Coast and Ipswich and Logan.
It is a city. I always say that I like Moreton Bay City Council, just because they're very progressive. Mm. You know, I guess they've led the way in a lot of different events that have been happening as well. And like you said, it's a growing place. Apparently the real estate is the place that you should buy. Remember we spoke to a real estate guru? And they said that's a place.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to grow from 500,000 to nearly 700,000 over the next couple of decades. And we're working really hard with the council to make sure the hospitals and schools and roads and everything else keep up with that population growth.
Because that does give you, it gives you a little bit more power too, doesn't it, when you're not a regional council. You're sort of more at the top of the pecking order for like budgets and whatnot.
I think that's right. I think it won't make much difference locally, but it means when the mayor goes to Canberra to ask for funding for important projects, it's a bit clearer where it's going to the third biggest city in Queensland.
There's a lot of rumours out today that there's a reshuffle of the cabinet. Are you involved in that?
I can't really talk about that at the moment, but I'm sure the Premier will have more to say about it. And, you know, like any team, the captain every now and then has to decide to make sure they have their best players in the best positions. And, you know, maybe that's what the Premier's thinking.
Yeah.
Do you get to choose? Like, do you go, hey, I'd like to take that portfolio or that portfolio? Or does Anna just kind of go, here's where I need you?
No, like in 2017, when I'd been the Environment Minister, I got called to a meeting and I said, I loved being Environment Minister. I'd really like to stay. And she said, you're the Health Minister. Thank you very much. It's an honour to serve.
It's like when they ask for suggestions. Hey, we're just wanting some suggestions. What would you be interested in? And then you get it back and you're like, well, none of my suggestions were on.
Tourism's the one you want. You just cruise around, you know, go into nice islands and stuff like that. That'd be fun.
I'm sure tourism's fun, although I think it was a bit hard during COVID.
Yeah, you got those challenges. Yeah. And often you don't just get one. Do you know?
You get multiple portfolios.
No, I've got like seven.
Wow. You'd be glad not to have the health one at the moment, right?
Look, it's a tough job. It's the biggest portfolio in government. There's 100,000 people working hard every day in health, and you know I loved working with them, but you know there's lots of challenges that come up too.
Yeah, because you had health when there was non-stop press conferences,
COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a pretty busy time. Yeah. You guys used to invite me on all the time. Only once a year or something.
No, you're always welcome, mate. You know our number.
That'll be another pandemic, Steve.
We like the deputy just as much, okay, as we did the health minister. We haven't even had the health minister on since, have we?
No.
Once you gave it up, we weren't interested, Stephen.
See how loyal we are to you? Hey, we want to
Well, they didn't have a promo reel.
No, that's right.
We want to get your support. You would have heard that we are campaigning for a brown snake lolly to represent the brown river that we have. And Alan's Lollies have said yes, that they'll make it. They're saying that they're going to choose different flavours. We're doing a bit of a taste test. There's cola, coffee or chocolate. Which one do you think the brown snake should taste like?
I think this is a cracking idea. The brown river kind of defines the city, doesn't it? So, look, I think chocolate and coffee sounds a bit weird to me, but cola's the way to go. And if it's a hit, don't you think it should be the official treat of the Brisbane 2032 Olympic and Paralympic Games?
Yes, it should.
It really should.
It's sugar's a sugar hit for all the athletes like that.
And they haven't decided on the mascot, have they? Yeah.
No. And maybe the brown snake could be the mascot.
And it's good. I mean, people always think that, you know, every animal kills you when you come to Australia.
Well, we don't want people to think that this is going to kill them.
No, but like, why don't we just own it? Yeah, it's a brown snake.
Do you know anyone who could like sort that out, like get a conversation or a meeting, Stephen?
Well, we have a Brisbane 2032 board meeting next week, so when are you getting the lollies? Maybe you can send over a pack.
Soon, around the next week sometime.
Will we have them by then?
If we're in the meeting and we speak up and go, sorry, we've got an idea, what about this lolly? I'll feel
we'll do it. All right, we can get samples. Apparently we can get some samples. So we'll get you a bag and you take it to the meeting.
And you share with everyone.
Yeah.
Deal. Yep.
Done.
Let's do it.
Deal. All right. There we go. The official lolly of the 2032 Olympics. You heard it here. Confirmed by Stephen Miles. Mate, always great to chat,
Thank
buddy.
You.
Under active consideration.
Great.
Stab Abby and Matt on B105.
Alpha Bucks tomorrow. We now play 7 and 8 a.m. Here are your 7 o'clock answers.
Your letter is M, and three of your answers are Milton, Mango, and Mary J. Bilge.
And your 8 o'clock game answers are?
Your letter is T, and some of your answers are Turtle, Terminal, and Tropic Thunder.
Nice.
Good movie.
Stab Abby and Matt on B105.
Are you crazy or just plain stupid?
Stupid is stupid does.
I love me a dumb criminal. You always hear about criminal masterminds, and you know what they always say, we'll never know of the perfect crime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of annoying as a criminal, isn't it? Like, you really want to Skype. I imagine they'd be like, look what I pulled off.
Like a Batman villain. Yeah. You want people to know it was you. Yeah.
Like, police have no idea how they did it. Yeah.
I did it, it was me.
What about that guy? There was one, wasn't it? And he used to always send them newspaper and clips. And
the postcard bandit, Brendan.
Did they catch him?
Yeah, they caught him.
But he used to do that.
Yeah, he'd be like, having a nice time on this island.
And then send them a postcard.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
I would think that was like 20 years or something.
It was a while. Yeah. One of our most famous, there is a big crime problem at the moment, and they all can't be smart, you know. can't be good at it. Some of them got to be stupid. And this guy is very, very stupid. He's from America. He was pulled over for drink driving, and he's done the classic where he's tried to switch seats. But have a listen to who he tried to change seats with.
A rough night for at least a driver in a southeastern Colorado town. That's because he tried to switch seats with his dog after being pulled over on suspicion of DUI. Springfield police say an officer pulled over a driver going 52 and a 30, and then the driver tried to switch seats with his dog. The dog had been in the passenger seat.
I ain't rude.
I'm not doing it.
Me. I haven't had anything to drink.
God. He must have been off his chops.
Well, do you know how off his chops he was? Because the story gets even dumber.
It cannot.
Have a listen.
They say there were also two sober people in the back seat, one of whom the actual owner of the car. Springfield's police chief says he doesn't know why one of them wasn't driving. Not every crime comes with a criminal mastermind. It seems like...
It does not.
Depending on the status of the person who switched, the dog may have been a better driver.
Yeah.
So the owner of the car was sober in the back?
There was two sober people in the back, and one of them was the owner of the car. It is, though, if you listen very carefully, it is in the city of Springfield, and they do have a bit of a history of this.
Isn't that cute? A baby driving a car. And look, there's a dog driving a bus. Hey!
So I guess it's to be expected. And it also got me thinking of some classics. There was a guy, he broke into a house and he got caught by doing something extremely stupid. But I guess maybe he was just wanting to do a quick update.
A Minnesota man is in jail tonight because he logged on to Facebook.
Yeah, police say that Nicholas Wigg checked his profile from a home he had broken into and then didn't log off.
You must be joking.
Oh, he logged into their computer.
Yeah. His Facebook.
His Facebook,
Update status. Yeah. You should see what I'm broken into tonight. Ha ha.
I'm not leaving any fingerprints. Update.
I mean, we love it when someone does this at work, when they leave the Facebook open here.
Oh, yeah.
I could have really messed with that guy.
This computer here in the studio, every morning there's someone left in their Gmail or
their OnlyFans,
Facebook
remember
or
that?
Something. Who was someone on their own?
We're not going to say who it was. But do you remember?
No.
They were on OnlyFans and we're like, oh.
Yes, I do remember. Yes, I do. And we were like.
Side hustle. Yeah. Side hustle.
Thanks for keeping it quiet, guys.
Poor Brad. Listening to this going, it's not me.
It's not me.
Well, mate, if you're going to fight it that hard, you look sus.
And lastly, you do want to, especially in this day and age, it's very hard to go out and not be caught on CCTV or dash cam. There's cameras everywhere. We are being supervised and surveilled all the time. So they wanted to hide their faces. They couldn't afford masks, I guess, so they did this.
Same thing that disguised them, the same thing that got them arrested. Robbers who tried to hide behind a mask of permanent marker.
They colored in their faces with permanent marker.
So how would they catch them?
They were the guys with the permanent marker on their face.
Wasn't me.
It was another guy with exactly the same permanent marker. Yeah. So God, sleep easy at night. There are
knowing
idiots
that
out there.
The good ones won't get caught?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that.
Stab Abby and Matt on B105.
My middle son, I was asking him about one of his friends because I haven't heard from him. You know when they come down, they give you a rundown and this happened to this person. I just haven't heard his name for some time. And I said, are you guys still friends? And he goes, no. I was like, oh, gosh, what happened? He goes, oh, he doesn't play football at lunch. And I was like, oh, but nothing happened. He goes, no, he just doesn't play football.
Well, they're still friends. They just don't see each other.
But for him, he's like, we're not friends at the moment, but that's all right. Once he starts playing the same sport that I'm playing, we'll be friends.
We'll be friends.
And I was like, oh, okay. And he goes, yeah, there's no drama. And I was like, that's good that there's no drama. And
we're simple creatures.
I said, why do you say there's no drama? He goes, oh, the girls. And I was like, wow, what's happened?
Well, you jumped to a drama conclusion when you found out they weren't friends.
I did, because I'm used to my friends.
Yeah, because you're a girl.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, because I'm a girl. Yeah. So I was like, someone said something about someone.
Yeah.
And then they've gone off and something's happened. And I know with my friends who have girls at the same age, and they had a lot of like, oh, they're not talking to each other at the moment. Something happened. And I was like, how are they going? Oh, they're best friends again. And my son is finding that really hard to understand, because in the classroom he sometimes gets asked to sit next to one of the girls because they're not talking to someone else. So he's like, he just sits down, and then
he's Sweden.
He's 8, and then he got asked to get up and leave because they were friends again. So he just goes, no worries. Yeah. There's a girl who is considered his wife because they were born a week apart, and she always refers to him with that. And he always goes, I don't even know if I want to marry her, but she said that we are, so we are.
Yeah, welcome to the club, pal. So,
you will be very, very somewhat satisfied.
But I had to record him explaining it because it just made me laugh, because he was saying about what happens in the classroom. And I was like, have you got your head around? He goes, it's really complicated. When the girls fight, this is what happens.
So they're friends.
Yeah.
Then they go into each three groups. Then they fight.
Right,
they argue.
Yeah.
Then they split up into one.
Yeah.
They go back in the thing, they fight. Then next day, let's be friends.
Right.
Like, why don't you argue? You can fix the argument.
Yeah.
And you can become friends again.
So the girls break up friendships a lot. Do you do that at school with the guys or not?
No.
No. Well, yeah, it's very much, thank you. It is very much more a political strategy game, friendship of girls. I've
manipulation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. Absolutely.
But just all I'm saying is just don't try to follow it.
Oh, no, I gave up 8 years ago. Yeah. I don't even know her friends' names at the moment.
So. Yeah, no, you don't need to.
They need to.
Yeah.
Stab Abby and Matt on B105.
131060, I'd like to know what you have found in your food, because this is...
can't do this.
You can't do this?
No. No, I can't eat at that place after. Do you ever find that? No, you'd persevere. Yeah,
no, sometimes it really depends how hungry I am. Like, I'm like, oh, do I want to wait for a new meal?
Hair on your head, fine. But if I find a loose hair, that meal is
done.
Not edible for me. I take the hair out and serve it to Scott.
Well, this is a bit
of a curly black one. You're like
just
a no.
Any from your hair or anything. The head, sorry.
Send your phone over. Don't look yet. But this is a bit of a strange one because, yes, you can find food in food that's been prepared at a restaurant. Like maybe you find some sort of bit of plastic in the meal that's been prepared in a kitchen. But my friend had just come back from Bali, and while she was in Bali, she bought a packet of roasted butter beans. I don't know. She says they're delicious. Sounds ridiculous to me. But she was chomping down on those, and then she chomped down and she felt something, and she spat it out. And have a look at the photo.
Oh, see, that's worse when it's already been in your gob.
Well, this is the weirdest thing. This is from an opening a packet of essentially chips, really.
What?
Let's have a look at butter bean.
So this is...
What is
that? She bought them in Indonesia?
Yeah, well, in Bali. Yeah.
Bali, yeah.
Yeah. Opened them.
In it...
Felt something
is
plastic.
Is a plastic, and it's got a note.
It's got money in it.
Oh, nice.
That's $2.
Is it? Well done.
Oh, is that all that is?
I don't know. 2,000 Indonesian. Yeah.
Do you take off 2 zeros or 1 zero?
I don't know. Probably something I should work out before my holiday.
It's either $2 or $20. No, it's $2.
Well, she whacked up on Facebook and was like, this goes into the AF files. Because, you wouldn't think you'd get something in it. And then the thing that occurred to me, I think there's a pretty big chance that's been up someone's butt.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Someone's
been smuggling it for a prison or something. And then it's somehow gotten into there. But it looks
someone
butt-like.
In the factory, you think, has put that...
I don't know. Maybe someone bought it, put it in, resealed it.
It hasn't been up the butt. They put it in there to take into... No.
You don't reckon that little capsule looks like? That's what Maddie thought?
No, I think.
That's what they,
well, you guys would have more experience. I don't know.
Well, all I know is when I snuggle my $2 coins.
When you snuggle them.
Did I say snuggle?
You said snuggle.
I snuggle them in there.
I remember once we were at a restaurant and I was eating a bowl of pasta and I literally heard a clunk and there was a like a bolt in my pasta that had fallen from the ceiling and they thought that I'd thrown it in there to get a free meal.
It's weird. I've just looked on line two, that's 20 cents, it's saying.
Right. But, you know, what different currencies, it might get
oh, yeah, 20 cents.
It might get you something in prison.
It still would get you something, yeah. You could probably get those chips with that.
Right. Well, yeah, but why would it be in that little capsule is what's... Like, was there drugs in
so
it too?
So she bought them overseas?
It almost was for people playing at home. It kind of looked... The capsule would be akin to, like, the thing you get inside a Kinder Surprise, but smaller, you know? Thanks. Yeah, like a little... It opens in half and the money comes out that way. So, did she what, sorry?
Because she brought those over in Indonesia.
Yeah, she brought them back. She just got back from Bali. She was holding into her.
Yeah. So someone in the factory's put them in there.
I guess. I don't know. This is the mystery. This is the what the of the AF variety.
Yeah, it's a bit scary too, isn't it? Imagine, like, you're going through customs with those and they're like, why have you smuggled money through?
What if it was drugs?
Yeah.
Yeah. You think you might have a hard time explaining that. I guess the fact that you had to open the bag, but you can reseal bags with heat packs and
of
stuff.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
I know what you're meaning, though. 20 cents. Like, even over there, I know you can still buy things for 20 cents. Mm. You would expect a bit more.
Mm. Unless this is the test.
Oh.
This is just the tester, and they've done that, and there's like...
That's actually pretty clever.
There's more butter beans or whatever they are.
Yeah, it's like, don't put the 100 grand in there in case it doesn't end up getting there.
Yeah.
Let's make sure it works. Yeah, maybe.
Mm. Or that someone just accidentally dropped it in.
Yeah, I mean there's that too.
Yeah.
It's the way he keeps his change and he's just lost it.
Still, that's gross though.
Yeah. It didn't occur to her until we mentioned that it could have been... She was like, thanks for that. That helped a lot.
So that's what I'm here for.
Didn't occur to me at all.
131060. What did you find in your food? That's what we want to know. Whether was it a bagged goods or was it a restaurant or maybe you're at your friend's house?
We would like to know what you found in your food. Alicia from Ormo.
Good morning.
Morning. What'd you find?
Well, my eldest brother actually did. Chewing gum on a Sunday night, the night before a public holiday, opened chewing gum and it had glass in it, which he didn't notice. Until it had shredded the inside of his mouth and caused a lot of damage and broken teeth and whatnot.
Wow.
And he had three representatives of the chewing gum company, including a lawyer, on his doorstep in the middle of the night with a box of gum that they wanted to exchange for the offending packet.
Yeah.
And he declined.
Yep.
Surprise, surprise. Uh-huh. And... they ended up settling for a bit over $40,000.
Wow.
Well, I guess he had to pay for so much dental work.
Well, that, and he was with the Special Operations Group in the police force as a hostage negotiator, and he was off work for quite a while.
You're not going to win that argument, are you?
It seems like a thing. You see the cops chewing gum, don't they, and aggressively.
Yeah.
Wow. So hang on. Your brother negotiates with terrorists and they sent a lawyer with a box of gum to try and get the evidence off him.
In effect, yeah.
That's if he had said yes, we would have been concerned.
Yeah, yeah. that's some sort of Stan Short movie or something like that. Like,
has he still got
so
that
unlucky.
Job, Alicia?
No, he lives overseas now, retired.
Oh, right. Very cool job.
I always wonder if hostage negotiators are good with toddlers.
Yeah.
Like, whether they're able to, you know,
well,
like, get their
to
toddlers
the kids,
into
though.
Line.
They're like, can we do this? I'm like, do you know what? I don't negotiate with terrorists, guys.
No,
so
of course not.
Go and have a shower.
No way.
I guess it depends how the negotiation goes. If they get to the point where, all right, take him out. Take him out. He's two.
Well, I tried.
I tried him out. Jade and Buchan, what have you found in your food?
Hi, it was my husband. We were out for a pub lunch and he pulled a bin chicken feather out of his salad that he'd been chewing on. And then when we took it back, said, excuse me, found this in here. They tried to say that that's where they prepare the chicken too close to the salad. So meaning they pluck it next to the salad. And I said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Did they do like the, oh, we'll give you a free drink?
Yeah, they offered a free drink. I said, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
Refund, please.
Yeah, refund. Yeah.
For everyone.
Yeah. He was chewing on it for ages.
Yeah, and if you can point to me to any pub in Brisbane that plucks their own chooks, I'd be happy to give it a crack.
But I know, right?
Yeah.
That's what they have Steggles for.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, they come in nude. They haven't got the jackets on. No.
Imagine them doing rock, paper, scissors. Who was going to go out and say that?
That's how we do it.
Go on, do a straight face. You do a straight face. Nah, sorry, I'm out.
No, I can't.
Good on you, Jade.